All right. So welcome, everyone, to VSpeaks. This is a special episode with Patrick Davis, who's the founder of SIP, which is Songwriters in Paradise. And I'm filling in for Lisa Burwell today. I'm Jordan Staggs, the editor of V. And we're just so excited to have you here today, Patrick.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. Nice to see you, Jordan. We've talked on the phone, so now I get to see you. So this is great.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's been a little while since we've talked. I think you've had a couple of events since then. Yeah. So tell us about how the last one went.
The last one was in Sonoma. We do it in Hillsburg. So that's, Sonoma wine country, I guess. And that was in July. And it was pretty incredible. It was perfect. I don't know how else to say it. It was just the events can they usually are pretty awesome, but this was definitely one of the better ones. It was the second year we've ever done Songwriters in Paradise in Hillsburg, and as anything, you hope it just gets better and better each year. And the second year was a lot of fun. It was a lot of wine, a lot of music, a lot of camaraderie and friendship and stuff like that. So as in terms of events, I am already looking forward to next year. Like, I think it feels like it was like last week. And also it feels like it was like, a year ago, which means it was a good thing, I think. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, as an event planner, perfect is always what you want to hear. That's great. Take us back a little bit and tell us about how you started Songwriters in Paradise and sort of what it is.
SIP was, I've written songs and performed in Nashville and all over the world for the past 20 years or so. And in Nashville, we do what they call writer's rounds. We do them all the time. That's the Bluebird Cafe is probably the most famous of those. And we sit in a circle, usually, or in a row, and there'll be three or four of us singing and performing and also telling stories. And usually for a very small crowd, the Bluebird would be the most famous of those spots. And the Bluebird is only about 80 or 90 people are allowed in the Bluebird. And so it creates this very exclusive kind of intimate experience that you don't really get usually outside of Nashville. But what I recognized was that if you took it outside of Nashville, people really, really gravitated towards it. And I, besides writing songs and performing, I love to travel. I love to experience new places. I love to experience food and, beverage and that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I, kind of was like, wow, it would be a lot of fun to kind of put these together and do these things that we do in Nashville, this music part, and then also take it to these extraordinary places that I get to visit when I travel and when I get to play shows. And that's how SIP happened. And the first one started in the Bahamas a little over a decade ago. And then we moved to Cabo, which Cabo comes up in December. I believe some of you guys might be coming to that. Yeah. That'll be the seventh annual SIP Cabo. And then I started in Napa in 2018. And now we also have Hillsburg as well. So we have two that are wine centric, one that's in Mexico and one that's in the Bahamas. So it's not a bad gig.
Yeah. Well, it's a great variety of places for people that want something different when they're traveling to it as well.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I think each person, we have a lot of repeat offenders, they come to a lot of the events. So, and that's, I think that says a lot about the events, is that it's not the same thing every year at any of the locations, any of the destinations. We have folks that have been to every single year that we've done Cabo, every single year that we've done Napa, but they also will go, maybe they'll change and they'll go to Hillsburg one year and then they'll come to Napa the next year. And that's a really great, the variety is a key, to spice of life. So there you go.
Yeah. That's very cool. So what can someone expect when they come, say, to the Cabo event in December?
Well, perfect weather is usually what the biggest selling point for Cabo in DC. We do it the week after Thanksgiving every year. And it really is an extraordinary time in Cabo. There's no humidity. It's like 75, 80 degrees every day. 65, 70 every night. So that really bodes well for having shows on the beach and these experiences that we're trying to, to give to our attendees. And then I bring 10 or 12 of my songwriting friends and performers down and we play on the beach. You play on the beach during the day and then we play on the beach during the night, so that's kind of the idea. And once again, it's that exclusive thing that I think folks really enjoy is we're so busy. The world is such a busy place, whether it be traffic or work or, just our day to day existence is so extremely busy. With SIP, we try to slow everything down and we try to make it to where you get to experience things at just a slower clip, and you really get to take it all in. You get to drink all the alcohol if you want it, eat all the food and take in all the music. And it just build something that is going to last and a memory that's going to be there for a long time. And not something that's the normal, not what you expect from this world that we live in now.
Oh yeah. Well, we love that. And we all need that for sure.
Yes.
I think a lot of the people who have performed at your SIP events have been here for the 30A Songwriters Festival.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Which they do every January or February. And, we've seen David Ryan Harris and some of your other friends.
So yeah. I think Mark Broussard and Paul McDonald. I think I got a drunken FaceTime from Paul McDonald, oh, no. David Ryan, Chris and somebody else last year at 30A. 30A is 30A is a good example
good
of
time.
Kind of yeah. It's one of those 30A is a good example of how the music, taking the music out of the normal music places really does work very well. 30A, which is legendary, it's a little larger than what I try to do with SIP. With SIP, I really want it to be, only 150, 200 people a night. That's the max. And that's like a sweet spot. Nothing wrong with having thousands and thousands of people. We love playing for huge crowds, but for this particular event, because it is a 3 or 4 day festival, but it's a super boutique festival. It gives you the opportunity as an attendee to, dive into something much deeper than you would in most experiences that you have with music and travel. And so that's kind of what 30A and those things are amazing, but SIP, yeah. I want it to be a little smaller. So, and I love 30A, so don't get, I'm not talking bad about 30A.
Oh, no,
I'm just saying, I think that's, that is a great indication of what, a representation of how, taking music out of the places you expect to see it can really elevate the experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's one of our favorite things about that festival too, is that all the different venues, some of them are a lot smaller, a lot more intimate. So it's a lot more like what you're doing. Who is on your lineup for Cabo this year?
We have a really incredible lineup for one of my favorites. It's we have Gabe Dixon. Gabe is an extraordinary piano player and singer songwriter who he plays in the Tedeschi Trucks Band, which is one of the greatest touring outfits in the world right now. He's not just a extraordinary piano player, but just if it was 1970, I always say if it was 1972, Gabe Dixon would be selling out arenas, around the world. He'd be like Billy Joel. He's that type, but it's just a different, music's a little different now. But Gabe is just incredible. And Gabe is going to be there. Mark Broussard, who is just an extraordinary singer-songwriter from Louisiana, who is currently on tour in Europe. He headlines all over the States as well, but I think he's doing 15,000 people a night over there at some shows. I mean, it just blows your mind how talented he is. Chris Stills, I mentioned him a second ago. Chris is he's just released a new album, and his dad is Stephen Stills, who everybody knows. Yeah. Stephen Stills, and his mom is actually an extraordinary artist from over in Europe as well. So my wife, Lauren Jenkins, who is a pretty special singer songwriter. Yeah. Paul McDonald, let's see. Paul is a American Idol alum, but he's a lot more than that. But that's where I think a lot of people might know him from. His wife, Leah Blevins, who is kind of an Americana songbird, I guess, and a few other folks. I think we have about 10 or 11 performers this year, and we keep that crowd that crew pretty tight. Pretty small, but they're all my friends. It's people that I vouch for personally. So the idea with SIP is you're not just going to see us perform. You're going to be able to hang out with us. You're going to be able to, if you're at the, we stay at the Bahia Hotel in Cabo. The shows are only like a block away. Like it's so close. Everything's within this really small little area. And so because of that, the attendees and the performers are kind of together the entire you know, 4 or 5 days and nights. So the idea is I want performers who are going to blow your mind on the stage, but they're also going to be wonderful to sit around the bar and talk to, because you're going to hang out with us. And that's one of the things that makes SIP different than, you know, 99% of the other events you may spend your money on.
Yeah. And so are you going to be up there on stage too?
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. I have to, yeah, I'll be there as well. There's 4 shows for SIP Cabo. There's 4 performances. And so we say everyone's going to play at least 2 of those shows or 2 of the nights, but inevitably someone drinks too much tequila one night, and so they have to change nights with somebody else. Or we decide we were having tequila while we're at the show and we're not playing, but we're going to go play on stage. So it's very loose. It can be a lot of things can happen. So that's nice.
That sounds like a lot of fun. And like you said, that keeps it different, keeps everyone on their toes.
Yeah, for sure. It makes it, we don't want it to be too structured to where we want the attendees and the performers and songwriters, we all want to feel like it's something that could spontaneously, anything's possible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about just yourself and your songwriting. How'd you get into music?
I have lived in Nashville I moved here in 2002, in January of 2002. So I've been here for about 21 or 22 years now. I graduated from the University of South Carolina. I'm a Gamecock. And I moved here right after I graduated. And my father is a musician, so I was always around music, but I didn't really start performing until I was about 16 or 17. And I fell in love with songwriting. I would look at, you know, at albums, and this is actually before the internet. So you'd have to look at liner notes, and I'd be like, well, who wrote this song? And you find out information on the folks who were kind of behind the scenes. And I realized that Nashville, Tennessee was where a lot of those songwriters, and not just country songwriters, because I didn't really grow up on country music. I grew up on the Beatles and Rolling Stones and Jim Croce and James Taylor. Yeah. So for me, it was more about kind of finding out where you could do music for a living, but it didn't necessarily have to be country. And I realized that in Nashville, while you get the idea that Nashville is 100% always country music, it's actually not. There's so much more that happens up here. So I moved up here and started writing songs. As luck would have it, I started writing songs that country artists started recording. So it was, which was fine. And I do like the songwriting aspect. And there's a few changes I could make to make that work. And I did that for about 10 or 12 years, pretty much exclusively. And it's a great gig if you can get it. And there's some, you know, money to be made and friends to be had, all that good stuff. But I ended up about 10 years ago, I decided that when I recognized that the industry was kind of changing, as all of you folks who are watching this know, you now get your music on Spotify and Apple and YouTube. And those aren't the ways that we used to get our music. You know, we used to have to buy the music. It was much different. And when I recognized that those revenue streams were drying up, the classic streams, is when I kind of decided I wanted to start playing more. And that's when SIP started as well. I said, I gotta be a little smarter about how I do this. You know, I need to figure out if there's other ways to make money besides just writing the songs, because that I saw that money was drying up. And so that's when I started performing. And I can't say anything bad about writing songs. I've written songs for folks, you know, from Jimmy Buffett to Darius Rucker to Lady A to Jewel to Darius Rucker to Morgan Wallen, for God's sake. You know, it's been kind of all over the board. Yeah. But for me personally, I realized that what it really made me the happiest was writing, was not just writing, but was performing. And so I started playing a lot and putting out my own music, and then also SIP. And I still do write from time to time for folks. If I get a phone call from somebody, I'm not going to say no, you know?
Yeah. So I'm super interested in that process and how it works. Like when you have lyrics or a melody, like how do you start, and then how does it end up getting to that person that's ultimately recording it?
Yeah. It can kind of happen anyway. You know, it's probably like if you're writing an article or something, you know, you get an idea and you go, oh, I should write about this, or you have a line that kind of steers you in a certain direction. That's essentially what happens when it comes to writing songs. you can, in our phones, you know, everybody has their phone now, and you used to be notebooks, but now it's more about your notes in your phone. Yep. And I'll write down ideas or titles, or I may hear someone say something at a restaurant or a bar, and I go, oh, that was a good, you know, our ears are kind of always open to, like, we're always listening to, like, is that, what did you say? And so that's usually a good starting point. And then when it comes to the guitar or the piano, whatever you're writing on, you can sometimes have a melody on that, but for me personally, it's usually the lyric that starts it off. The idea has to kind of spark it. And I don't know, it's when it comes to getting it to someone who actually will record it, there was a time that it used to be a lot easier because I don't know, it goes back, it's such a bigger conversation. It just, it used to be a lot easier just to kind of get your songs out there to folks. Well, now the camps are a lot tighter together. People have a stranglehold on their people. And so you really have to, most of the songs that you hear that are recorded today are kind of what I would say an inside job. You have to know the performer personally. So, you know, for me, when I get a song, if Darius Rucker records a song that, that I wrote, it's probably because I was able to get the song to Darius. It doesn't necessarily mean it was the best song in the world. You know, we used to have a thing where the best song would win. In today's world, a lot of it is who you know. It's not what you know. And so for me personally, I have found that probably about 90% of the songs I've ever gotten recorded are because of a personal relationship. Either I know the artist or someone I know knows the artist. So that breaks a lot of hearts out there when I tell people that, because they're like, how do I get my song recorded by so-and-so? Yeah. And I'm like, well, the chances are, unless you know them or you have a family member that knows them very well, you're probably not going to get your song to them. That's kind of the world we live in today. So I hate to hear that. I hope it turns around a little bit to where the best song wins. You know, I am well aware that some of the songs I've gotten recorded are not because they were the best song.
but because
I knew the first. Yeah. They're fine. But I didn't write, you know, what's your greatest song? What's the song you think is the best song in the world?
The best song in the world?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Your favorite today. Your favorite today.
Oh man. There's one that I listen to a lot that's constantly, and it's not like the most popular song or artist or anything, but it's called All My Days by Alexi Murdoch.
Okay, I'll have to check that one out.
Yeah, and it's just like beautiful to me for some reason, but it's just one that I always go back to. I don't know if it's my favorite song. But
I will have to listen. Okay, I'll listen. And I guess the thing I would take from that is that's one that all of that kind of when I realized that it had changed to where it wasn't just about the song, how good the song you're writing was. I said, well, I just need to be the artist. So that's when I started going out and playing more. I was like, well, I have songs that I think people should hear. And if they're not necessarily finding their way onto the radio, I said, I'm just going to start playing them myself. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. I have those notes in my phone too. So I'm always like, how could I get these to someone? Like, I don't know what to do with them. They're just here. So.
Yeah. Well, you got to move to Nashville. That's the first thing. Like the first step is if you want to be a songwriter, and you kind of got to be where the music happens. Yeah. That does, cause that's how you're going to meet those people. You know, that's how you never know I tell young writers, if they're asking me how to get into the scene, I say, well, you need to move to Nashville, and then you just need to go out and you need to meet as many people as you can, because what's going to happen is you might not become Chris Stapleton, but your buddy might become Chris Stapleton. And then all of a sudden you have an outlet for your music, you know, and that's, but you kind of have to be, must be present to win type of situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and it's a very collaborative process, I'm sure too. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And that way you get to write with folks. And that's a lot of the songs in Nashville, when you're writing by yourself, you only maybe like, if I was writing songs by myself, I may only write 20 songs in a year because I'm going to be slow and I'm going to watch television and go work out, all these different things. But when you're in Nashville, when you write for a publishing company, like I write for Warner Chappell Publishing, they will put your calendar, you know, your calendar for the whole year will be booked, and every single day you're going to write. So you'll write 200 or 300 songs in a year because you're forced to write with other people. And that keeps the creative juices going. When it's just you by yourself, you can be lazy, you know?
Yeah. But that goes back to also your events. I mean, being collaborative with your friends and your artists that, you know, are coming to these SIP events. So tell 100%. Us a little about, like, what are you doing during your downtime?
At the events?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's usually drinking. yeah, that's the, no, we do utilize these, the SIP I keep saying it over and over again, but the thing that makes it different is how collaborative the performers and the attendees get to be. It's not about writing songs together, but just being able to spend time together. And that is actually the biggest bonus that I saw from SIP from a business standpoint and a musical standpoint for me, because in our world, we usually, if we're on a festival, I think I've told you this, you guys, this before, but when you're on a festival, you might have myself and Gabe Dixon and Mark Broussard may all be on the same festival, but the chances are, is that I'm playing at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Gabe's playing on another stage at 4 o'clock and Mark Broussard's playing on another stage at 9 o'clock. So we're not going to see each other, and you'll see it on a lineup and you'll be like, oh, they're going to, you guys must always see each other. And we might wave at each other from the stage. That's about it. And so, and that is an exhausting experience because we want to be able to see our friends. We need our balloons filled with, you know, with the friendship, you know, and we just don't, we don't get that very often. So the SIP model for me, the most important aspect of it from a musical camaraderie standpoint was the idea that, hey, we could go somewhere for 5 days and be together the entire time, which just doesn't happen. It happened when we were kids, when we were little kids starting in Nashville, when we had no job, well, we had jobs, but we didn't have any jobs that were paying, you know, music jobs. We could see each other all the time because we'd go to the little bar, or we, you know, we do all these things. And then when you get busy, that changes and you never see each other anymore. And because of that, you just lose touch with kind of a feeling that you used to have, you know, when you were playing in the garage. And that's what I feel like SIP is for a lot of us. And I feel like that's probably, David Ryan Harris told me one time, you know, David Ryan's been the guitar player for John Mayer for 20 years. He tours all over the planet, and he's seen the top of the mountain. Like, he's been everywhere. And David Ryan did his first SIP, and he called me afterwards and he goes, I will do every one of these that I can. He's like, this was so amazing, because it gives you that opportunity to hang out with people and talk about music and talk about the stories on the road and find your people. And, and that's a really great thing. And that's what we do on the downtime. We kind of recharge our batteries by being around each other, which just never happens in a relaxed environment. We're usually about to walk on stage, or just came off stage, or getting on a train or a plane or a bus to go somewhere. So it's really wonderful to be able to just relax and be in one place for all of us.
Yeah, well, I think that's something incredibly special too, especially in such a stressful industry.
Yeah, so, just constant movement. You know, that's there's an old saying. It was Waylon Jennings said that when he signed up to be a musician, he didn't realize that he had signed up for a 50-year bus ride. And that's essentially what it feels like. We just are nonstop. You know, it's always like, you know, I was just in California. Well, I had to go out there and play. Well, from Nashville to Napa, it takes 12 hours to get there, no matter how you go each way. And people don't see that. They don't realize that, like, when I'm driving from Napa to Sacramento to get on a plane, and then all the, I'm like, this is the stuff nobody sees. They only see the 45 minutes or hour I'm on stage. And they're like, that life must just be amazing. And I'm like, well, this 45 minutes is amazing. The rest of it is a little different. So that's why SIP, I think. And I think that that's important for the musicians and for the songwriters. But I also think that's what the slowing down and relaxing and having that feeling of calmness is also for the attendees. That's what we try to, that's kind of the emotional thing we try to just, we want that to just kind of, you want that fairy dust to go over the entire SIP experience, you know, to where you feel like, oh, this is great. This is awesome. This is like, everything's just right in the world.
So what's one moment from one of the past events that has really stood out for you as like, wow, this is it. Like, this is why we're doing this. This is magic.
There's honestly a few, there's multiple moments like that that happen at every one of the SIPs. And usually it's like a, all the things kind of coming together at the right moment. And I could be in the audience watching my friends play or on stage. But when you're sitting there, I'll say as an audience member, because I'm not always playing, and I'm sitting there and I'm watching, you know, I'm watching Gabe Dixon and play piano along with, you know, another one of my friends who wrote some incredible song, and the stars are out above us and it's perfect weather. And I've got a glass of wine in my hand and it's deathly quiet because everyone's listening. Everyone is in the moment and there's no phones going off. Yeah. There's no, like, no one's responding to any emails. It's just completely in the moment. And that's so hard to make happen in today's world with the constant Facebook and Instagram and text and all the things going on. It's really beautiful to, when those moments happen. Sometimes is when I like have to catch myself being like, all right, SIP is working right now.
Yeah, this is why we're doing this.
That's 100% yeah. accurate. So,
well, that's amazing, and we can't wait to check out Cabo.
Well, I can't wait for you guys to check out Cabo. Cabo will be amazing, and then Napa is in April, and that's a whole other. You know, I always say that the paradises, the SIP destinations, mm-hmm. are they don't need anything really to make them any more special. You know, they are incredible. Yeah. So if SIP can just add a little tiny bit to it, then it's yeah. awesome.
So tell us just real quick a little bit about the hotels that you're working with, especially the one in Cabo. So I know it's like a whole package.
Yeah. So we the Bahia Hotel and Beach Club is on the second row, right in the heart of what I consider to be where you want to be in Cabo. I think Bahia's actually was an older hotel that they completely renovated. And I think the reason it used to be on the front row, and I think then they opened up some beachfront, so there's something in front of it now, but it's still great because it's such an incredible little, I think it's an 80 room, maybe 90 room hotel. Mm-hmm. And it's got one of the best restaurants in Cabo called Bar Esquina is in the hotel. The breakfast is amazing. The lunch is amazing, but the dinner is really just out of this world. I think I believe this is correct. It was George Clooney's 50th birthday party was held there. That's how great of a little spot this place is. It's just such a cool little spot. And the folks, the staff there is just head and shoulders. They're the same people that for 7 years, the same staff has been there, which is what you want when you go to a place. When you walk in, Christian who takes your bags, you want to see all these folks that you just know when you walk in, you're like, oh my gosh, hey, good to see you, which really adds to the camaraderie and the feeling of being at home when I get there. And so that's the Bahia where we all stay. And then one block down from there, take a left and you walk down. They have a beach club called Sur, S-U-R. And that's their sister beach club. And so if you stay at the Bahia, you're able to get, it's kind of like a, the Bahia is owned by some folks that are from up in Montauk. And, mm-hmm. and so it feels like you're kind of at a place up in the Hamptons when you go to Sur. It's very, Martha's Vineyard, Nantucket, Montauk type of like the beach chairs and all that. It's just beautifully put together. So you walk down there, you stay on the beach the entire day. They have an incredible restaurant at Sur. That's actually where, three of the four performances happen at Sur on the beach there, mm-hmm. For SIP. And, but it's lovely. You stare out at the Arc of Cabo, it's hard to beat. And once again, one of the things with our schedules and everyone's schedules are so busy. I think a real big selling point for SIP for performers and attendees is the fact that you stay at this hotel that's right here. And then you walk one block and you're on the beach, and then you come back to your little safe zone at Bahia, mm-hmm. and you're right in the heart of everything. One of the best restaurants in Cabo is called Edis. It's been there forever. It's basically you walk out of the Bahia and it's to the right. It's right there and it's legendary. And there's a place called The Office because you walk, I think it's about probably 50 steps to the beach, even if you walk out the front door of mm-hmm. Bahia. It's just it's a wonderful experience. Lee Vosburgh is the one of the owners. He's the one I was saying, but Montauk, he and his wife Meredith are fabulous. And anyone that comes down there, I think one great thing about SIP is because I vouch not just for the songwriters, but also for the places we stay, for the wineries we partner with in Napa and Sonoma, for they're all my friends. So mm-hmm. when you come to SIP and you buy that pass for the week and you're there the whole time, but when you leave, you're going to be on a first name basis with Lee and Meredith Vosburgh from the Bahia. You know, you're going to meet David Duncan from Silver Oak in Napa. You're going to know these people, and then you're going to be the same way with the songwriters. And that's just so different than what we normally experience in this world. So that's part of what I think makes all of them special. But in Cabo, you will fall in love with the Bahia. It is hard. It is hard to not feel like you're at something, a little unique when you're there.
I think we already have a little bit just from the photos that we've seen. So
yes, that's great. Yeah.
You feel exciting.
I'm glad. Yeah. And it's, and Cabo is filled with incredible destinations. There's so many beautiful hotels and spots there. So you're not going to go wrong anywhere you stay there, but I have a special place in my heart for Bahia. They're just, it's like I said, it just slows down. You get it. Once you fly into, you know, San Jose del Cabo and you take the 30 minute drive in and you go to the Bahia, you honestly never have to leave about a block area for the whole 5 or 6 days you're there. And that is just, and there's no car. You can get in a golf cart if you need to, but that's about the extent of it. Like, you're not having to go anywhere.
Yeah.
So that's a good problem to have.
That sounds amazing. And like, this is such a cool, collaborative extended family that you've created with these events. So we're excited to come experience it and to have you in the magazine and on the podcast. So thank you so much.
I thank you, Jordan. And thank you. And we're going to have you will fall in love with Cabo. It's hard not to fall in love with Cabo, but this is just going to help.
Great. Well, we can't wait. And that's going to be, what are the dates on that? It's the week right after Thanksgiving. So
yeah, it's November 29th to December 2nd. Most folks fly in on a Wednesday and then they fly out on Sunday or Monday, depending on how they want to, make it happen.
And you still have tickets on sale?
Yeah, there's a few rooms that aren't sold out. I think okay. there's a lot of them that are sold out, but I think there's maybe a handful of rooms that are still remaining. And then even if you don't, one thing that we tell, because a lot of folks, and I'm sure some folks that, you know, listen to podcasts or subscribe to you guys, they may have second homes in Cabo. We get some of that happens, or they have, you know, time shares or these things. So they have somewhere else to stay. So we still do. There are tickets that you can get that are just for the passes for the event. So folks can get that. It's songwritersinparadise.com. And if anybody has any questions, they can always email us right there on the site and say, or, you know, whatever they need to know, we can help them out.
Awesome. Well, we can't wait for that one and for everything you have coming up next year. So
yeah, well, same here. And thanks
thank
so,
you
much,
so
for,
much.
Thanks for talking today. Okay.
All right. Good to see you. Thank
Bye,
you.
Jordan. Bye. Bye.